Good morning, and you may open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read from verse 21 over to chapter 6 and verse 9. A question that I get asked fairly often through the years is how to understand this idea of headship, and sometimes it's coming from marriages that are in struggle, or sometimes it just comes from this idea of authority in general. How do we understand our relationship to authority and yet understand our obligations to God, and how that looks when we have men between us and God, or authority figures between us and God? And it's God has given us two models to give us an understanding of what His best would be. Two perfect models. One of those is God's relationship to His Son, Jesus Christ. That 1 Corinthians 11, we're told that God is the head of Christ. So in that relationship, we see submission, and we see authority, and we see an interaction there that shows a lot of love and respect. And we have another picture here in the lesson that we're going to read here this morning, and that's the relationship of Christ to the church. Another picture of a loving relationship of authority. And then in our lesson this morning, there was another conflict of authority between the tradition of elders and the commandment of God. And it's interesting in both of the passage that we're going to read and the study that we had this morning, is when our focus ultimately moves off God and our focus moves off the commandments of God, it becomes very easy to make other substitutions. On the one hand, there was a tradition of elders, but on the other hand, there was a commandment that never had a practice. Honor your father and mother. Well, we believe it. We believe it as a principle. But there was no practice to carry it out. And so, in looking at these scriptures, we certainly want to look at them in balance. And as we read this text, just think about how the thought just keeps reoccurring. We obey whatever authority figure there is in relationship to the Lord, ultimately to the Lord. Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing that any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.
I too would like to say good morning to each of you this morning, and thank you for coming and participating in congregational worship, corporate worship. What a wonderful thing we have our privilege to do, to gather together with like-minded believers and worship together. I'd like to thank Brother Paul for his prayer and also his comments in reading the scripture. Very appropriate, and in honesty, I didn't actually look ahead to see what the Sunday school lesson was about, but as we went through the Sunday school hour, it's amazing how we can tie a lot of things in this portion of scripture to what we've already talked about in Sunday school with honoring your father and mother. Paul mentioned there are examples given here of Christ in the church. We're not going to focus a whole lot on that here this morning. We're going to look more at the different roles and different callings here mentioned in the scripture that was read, Ephesians 5 and 6. This morning the topic, if you haven't guessed it already, is submission and authority. And as we think of submission and authority, I would like us to turn back to Ephesians chapter 4, because there's a verse I'd like us to keep in the back of our minds as we go through the passage here this morning. If you turn back to Ephesians 4, verse 1, the second part of that verse, Paul speaking here, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, and this is the part that I'd like us to keep in the back of our mind, because we're going to be bouncing off this verse a few times, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. What comes to your mind when you read this verse? What does it mean to walk worthy? Each of us have different callings in life. We're all at different stages. We are involved in different things. And we see a lot of the different callings here in the scripture. Many of us have multiple callings. As we look at Ephesians 5 and 6 here, we see multiple callings. We see husbands, wives, children, parents, servants, and masters. And in these different callings, we have the relationship of marriage, of family, and work relationships. As we consider these different roles and relationships, there tends to be two extremes that people, or stream ideas, and you may find yourself closer to one than the other. Just depends what all, you know, different things. But one extreme says that husbands give the rules, or those in authority give the rules. Wives are to submit. Children are to obey. End of discussion. We look at Ephesians 5 and 6 here, and they see the role distinctions, and there's no exceptions. This is what Scripture says, and it must be followed. That's one end of the spectrum. The opposite side would say that the grace of God eliminates authority and role distinctions. If we turn to Galatians 3, 26 to 28, this is a scripture that thought would go to. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. The opposite side of no exceptions points to this verse and says everyone is on equal ground, and so no one really has authority over anyone else. In both cases, we see these extreme ideas. They take passages of Scripture and they twist them, and sometimes even take Scripture to try to cancel other Scriptures out. Just like in this morning in the Sunday school lesson, where the Pharisees knew the commandment to honor your father and mother, and they came up with this corban to get around a commandment. They twisted what they knew to make it work for themselves. As we read God's word, we believe that all scripture is inspired, meaning that these words are the words of God. This is God's word that we hold in our hand. And we believe that God is perfect in wisdom and truth. And if God is perfect in wisdom and truth, then His word will never contradict itself. In fact, God's word will reinforce itself over and over again. I have read through this scripture many times. I'm sure many of you have also. We read in here how husbands are to love their wives. We read how wives are to be in subjection and submission to their husbands. We read how children are to obey their parents and employees are to serve their employers. It mentions servants and masters here, but we kind of modernize that a little bit with employees and employers. Recently, I have been working through a book. The title is Seeing with New Eyes. It's written by a man named David Paulson. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. David Paulson. This is connected to the ministry classes that Brother Galen Bricker taught here recently on counseling and caregiving. And this book was part of the homework or the requirement for the ministers in training for us to go through. In this book, David addresses this idea of submission and authority. He goes over Ephesians 5 and 6 here. And so a lot of the thoughts that I share here this morning are out of that book. I really appreciate the way he brought some different things out. And we're going to go through some of that here this morning. As we think of the idea of submission, the idea of being under someone, what's our first reaction? Submission directly challenges my instinctive craving to get my own way. I'm going to read that again. Submission directly challenges my instinctive craving to get my own way. By nature, I want to get my own way. As we watch children interact, it doesn't even have to be children, it can be adults. Did anyone here have to teach their child to want to get their own way? It doesn't happen. You don't have to teach that to a child. They instinctively, by nature, want to get their own way. We are born with that. When we are born, we want to get our own way. And so the idea of submission challenges our natural instinct. If we think back to the verse that we mentioned earlier, Ephesians 4, as we walk worthy, is our daily attitude, is our daily lifestyle one of submission? Are we following our greatest example, Jesus Christ, who was the perfect example? Paul mentioned that, and actually some of the songs we sang, if I was paying attention, it stuck out to me. I can't remember exactly what it said, but it talked about Jesus being our perfect example. So, in looking at the verses that were read, starting with verse 21 there, we're not really going to go verse by verse here this morning, or expository. We're going to pick out the different roles and callings that are mentioned here in this scripture. But I'd like to focus as we start on verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. As followers of Christ, we have all been given the grace of God. Where would we be without the grace of God? None of us earned it. None of us deserved it. It is something that we freely received. It is freely given. And so in that sense, we are all on the same level. We all needed the grace of God in our lives. God is no respecter of person in that sense. You can receive the grace of God whether you're male, whether you're female, whether you're Jew or Greek, whether you're bond or free. You have that opportunity to receive the grace of God, and we all need it. Your gender, your ethnicity, and your social status does not determine you being qualified for the grace of God or the mercy of God. In receiving that grace of God, we also have been commanded by our Lord to give that grace to others. We are called to be patient and constructive in our relationships. We're not called to double standards. If the children shouldn't talk back to the parents. The parents shouldn't yell at their children. If the wives are not to be disrespectful and assertive, the husband shouldn't be demanding and harsh. Not double standards. We could say the golden rule applies here. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you turn to Matthew 7:12, therefore, all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. However, our submission should not be based on the performance of others. In other words, I'll treat them nice or listen to what they have to say if they do the same to me. Meaning sometimes we start putting exceptions or stipulations on our submission. And we'll get into that a little later. The point that we're trying to make here is, as followers of Christ, no one is better or more qualified or in a better position to deserve the grace of God. As followers of Christ, we are part of something bigger. We are part of the body of Christ. And so whether you are married, whether you're single, whether you're male or female, whether you're a child, a parent, an employee, or a boss, we are all members of the body of Christ. We are brothers and sisters together. In that regard, we are all on level ground. In our lives, there are areas that we are called to serve. Areas that call either for submission or call for us to be a leader. Again, thinking back to the verse that we mentioned earlier, Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Each of us can take that verse, Ephesians 4:1 there, the call to walk worthy, and apply it to the area of life that you find yourself in or that you're called to. In this passage, again, we see the different areas that we are called to in life. We see husbands and their call to love their wives. We see wives and their call to reverence or respect their husbands. We see children and their call to obey their parents. And we see employees are called to obey their employers. And in all of this, we are to be in subjection to God, who is our supreme authority. He is the one who expects and demands our complete allegiance. As we move on, I'd like to look at three areas. We could call them core identities of the believer in a relation to the Lord. We could call this the common call to all believers. It's a common call to all believers, no matter where you find yourself. It's a core identity. And so thinking of our core identity as believers, as members of the body of Christ, in accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, inviting Him into our heart, and becoming part of the local body of believers, we would say that you are now a member of the church. What is the church in relation to Jesus Christ? The church is the bride of Christ. And so each member here this morning, as part of your core identity, you are part of the bride of Christ. So whether you're male, whether you're female, whether you're single or married, you are, in essence, a wife to Christ. You are called to fear Christ. You are called to live in submission to Him. Jesus is the one who loves, provides for us, grants mercy. He protects. He protects us as believers. Part of the bride or wife of Christ. The second thing in our core identity as believers, along with being a wife, each believer here this morning is a child of the Father. Ephesians 1 verse 2, just taking a couple verses out of Ephesians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and the faithful. That doesn't sound right. 1 verse 2, I'm sorry. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father. Down verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. 5:1, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Each of these verses refer to us as a child or children of the Father. We are called as children of the Father to obey and honor Him. The third thing in our core identity as believers is we are slaves or prisoners to Christ. Again, in Ephesians 3:1, for this cause, I, Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, for you Gentiles. And then in 6:5-8 there, again, talking of being a servant or a slave as unto Christ. These verses mention us in relationship to Christ as a servant or a slave, called to obey and fear Him. So at my core, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I am a wife, I am a child, and I am a slave. Each of us at our core are meant to live a life of submission. Christ is our head. He's our leader. He's our master. He's our superior. We stand under Him. We follow Him and depend upon Him. And we are His subjects. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. At our core identity in Jesus Christ, we are a wife, a child, and a slave. As we move on through Ephesians 5 here, we also see specific calls. This morning, there are those here, all of us here, are, like I said before, are a wife, a child, and a slave to Jesus Christ in the common call. There are also those here this morning who are a wife, a child, and a servant to other human beings. We would call this the specific calls. In this case, we must submit, respect, honor, and serve. We are called to do that. In doing so, we are not only doing good to our husband, our parent, or our employer, we are serving Christ by standing under those that God has placed over me. Kind of puts it in a different light. If we view those over us as people that God has placed there. In these times when I'm called into submission, maybe I could ask the question, how can I demonstrate with my words, my attitude, and my actions respect, honor, and submission to this person that God has placed over me? Or we could ask it a different way. How am I being disrespectful, headstrong, lazy, or manipulating? See, this passage challenges us in our submission. If you respect or fear the Lord, respect and fear your husband. If we obey the Lord, obey your parents. If we serve the Lord, then we should serve our master. Our relationship with our Lord should guide how we respond to those over us. We mentioned exceptions a little bit ago. We can, at times, fall into the trap of qualifying our submission. We reason that we will submit if, and you can fill in the blank. We begin putting stipulations or exceptions on our submission. It's interesting here that Paul, in this portion of Scripture, does not give any exceptions. We know, of course, in reading other scriptures that there are exceptions. In every situation where you are called to stand under another, you must always obey God rather than man. We turn back to Acts. Different times, the apostles are preaching, the local authorities come out, they beat them, they tell them they're not supposed to preach anymore. And they say, well, we have to obey God rather than man. Our call to submission does not override our allegiance to God. And so when a person we are standing under wants us to go against the commands of God, we may at times, or there may be times when a wife, a child, or an employee must say, I want to honor you, but in good conscience I cannot because it's wrong. There will also be times when those in authority over us will only be looking out for themselves, and they will treat us unfairly. In these times, do we feel like we have a right to push back? David, in his book, puts it this way, and I quote, When godliness must challenge or resist human authority, it does so in a godly way, respecting both the human being and the office, even while opposing the sin of the human being who holds the office. In other words, when we, because of a godly conviction, resist the human authority over us, we also, because of our godly submission, must respect the office and the person who we are resisting. The sin of another never cancels out our common call to walk worthy. And I know this is completely contrary to the way the world acts and reacts. This goes against every part of our nature. And yet Jesus is calling us to walk worthy. As we consider the different roles of submission, we believe that the Bible is constant in the way it speaks of obedience, submission, and fear. We looked at the common call, the call that commands all of us as part of the bride of Christ, as children of the King, and as servants or slaves to Jesus Christ. We are called to obey, fear, and submit to the Lord. The Lord, however, does not return those back to us. In His authority, His actions are different. As we look at the specific calls, the focus on the wives, children, and servants is to serve those that are over them. Husbands, parents, and masters do not do the same back. And I'm going to explain that. Don't jump red on me. Those in the authority position are called to look out for the good of those under them. And in both cases, in submission and in authority, we need to guard against self-will. Those serving, those in submission or serving, must repent of being headstrong and rebellious and purpose to submit. Those in authority must repent of being headstrong and rebellious and purpose to continually show love. We mentioned before, wives, children, and servants are called to submit, respect, and obey. As we turn to husbands, fathers, and masters, we see their call is to love, provide, care for, give grace, build up, teach, and treat fairly. In doing those things, you're not only doing good to your wife, your children, or the people that work under you, you are following the example of Jesus Christ. As we lead, instead of looking at those under us as subjects or people we rule over, look at them as people who God has placed in your care. Those in authority can ask this question: how can I, by my words, actions, and attitude, nourish, protect, and care for this person that God has placed under me? Or we could ask it in a different way. How am I being unfair, self-serving, harsh, neglectful, or discouraging? See, this portion of Scripture challenges us as those who lead. If God is loving to me as part of His bride, then I should be loving to my wife. If God, the Father, provides for me as one of His children, then I should provide and nourish my children. If my master, God the Father, is good to me as His servant, then I should be good to those that serve me. Just as there are exceptions to submission that we mentioned before, there are also rights to authority. In every situation where you are called to look out for another's welfare, you must always lead. Again, we have to be very careful of self-will or domineering. But you must never let the roles reverse. In reversed roles, we see the wife or the child or the employee ruling. When you are in a position of authority, there will be times... there will be times to call someone on the carpet, to put an employee on probation, to discipline a child, There will be times to take charge of a situation. In those times, we could say to those under us, I love you, and I want what is best for you, but this is what we're going to do even if you don't like it. The call to show tenderness and consideration does not mean we throw away the responsibility of leadership. We should never justify the sin of another in pursuing their well-being. David, in his book, puts it this way: when godliness must challenge another's wrong, it does so in a godly way, communicating the grace of God in word, deed, and attitude. If we look down through Ephesians 5, we see multiple roles. And as we read through these verses, how many times can you put your name in where the specific call is? And we talked about the common call. That includes all of us as a wife, a child, and a servant. But looking at the specific calls, how many of us, or many of us, should be able to put our name in there probably 3 or 4 times? I can put my name in five of the six specific calls there. If you're married, Ephesians 5:22 or 5:25 talks to you. If you are a parent, if you have a parent still living, Ephesians 6:1 talks to you. If you have children, Ephesians 6:4. If you have a supervisor at work, Ephesians 6:5-8. And if you have people under you at work, Ephesians 6:9. Like I said, I can put my name in 5 of those 6 times. I am married, and so I am called to love my wife. I have been blessed with children, and so I'm called to nourish and care for my children. I have parents still living, and so I'm called to obey them. Maybe differently than a teenager still living at home, but I am still called to respect and honor my parents. As Eric said here this morning, with honoring our parents. I work at work, I either answer to the homeowner or the salesman that got me the job. And so in that sense, I'm called to listen to what they tell me and how I'm supposed to do it. And at times I have those helping me do the job. And so in that position, I'm called to treat them fairly and with respect. As we go through our lives, our roles change and evolve. I have different roles and responsibilities now than I did when I was 15. And you'll see your roles changing as you grow or as you become older, if you're young. Some of you now take care of your parents. And the roles that your parents once had for you, you now have for your parents. You can insert your name wherever it fits here in Ephesians 5 and 6. And then follow what Paul, through the Holy Spirit, wrote, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. In closing, I'd like to read 3 truths, or go over 3 truths. We must always obey the general call to treat one another with love. In this call, in this case, we are called to treat everyone the same. The second truth is every person in a submission role must focus on standing under those God has placed over them. And along with that, those in an authority role must focus on looking out for the welfare that God has placed under them, for the people that God has placed under their care. In these cases, we treat people differently. In the first case, we treat everyone the same through that love and that call, that general call. But in the specific calls, we treat people differently, whether we're in the submission role or the authority role. The third truth is each one of us here, in one area or another, answer to someone. In these cases, as we submit to Christ by standing under that person. Each of us here also have people we look out for. And in this case, we actually image Christ to those that are under us. 2 quick quotes from the book that I mentioned before by David Paulson. Those who do not submit to Christ follow the desires of body and mind instead, and they will walk in darkness. Those who follow Messiah Jesus in whom the nations find both hope and God, will live in light.
As Brother Dustin was speaking here this morning, thought came to my mind, or some thoughts along this line. We all are submitting to someone. There's two ultimate powers to submit to: the power of God or the power of Satan. And if we're not willing to submit to the authority and the structure that Dustin talked about here this morning, we are submitting to the authority of Satan. And that's easy. That's easy to do. And as you think of those two masters, either the master God or the master Satan, think about where each one of them is going to spend eternity and where their servants are going to spend eternity. The servants of Satan are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. The servants of God, being willing to submit to authority and be submission and be in subject to leadership, and the leaders being in willing to be in subjection to Christ, are going to spend eternity in heaven in bliss, in a wonderful place we can't begin to imagine. So as we think about all of us as being servants, being under the authority of Christ and submitting to Him and serving Him, think about where we're going to spend eternity. With these thoughts, all who are able, would you please stand for closing prayer?